Hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I want to welcome you, brothers and sisters, back to our study. And today we're going to go back into lesson number 25, the letter Y for yearning. And what we're talking about is affections. First thing I'd like to say is I appreciate y'all studying and being faithful to God's Word and faithful to the truth and what God says. But in another way, I'm thankful for y'all putting up with my kind of teaching in this Bible study. I'm not a well-spoken person, and I don't have all these, I say too many uhs and ahs and all that kind of stuff. But either way, I hope, you see, but I hope that you're bearing with it and it don't aggravate you too much. But we're here to learn God's Word and to encourage one another and to exhort one another and to get God's Word established in our minds and let it become part of us and dwell us and to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's get on with our study. And I hope that you've had a good day and are going to have a good day. And I don't know what time you listen to this, but I just want to say thank you to you. And the Lord bless you. And I know He is. And those things that are troubling you, don't worry about it. Don't be careful about it. Don't be so full of care that you can't function. It takes a lot of courage to trust the Lord. It really does. But the Lord even told you, say, well, that's not really trusting Him if you got to be courageous to trust Him. No, that's not true. Because if you go back in the Old Testament and you look at all the fellows, the old saints, like, for instance, Joshua, if you get back there where the Lord was turning the power from Moses over to Joshua, and He started instructing Joshua, so one of the things He said to him over and over and over was be strong and of a good courage, and not to be afraid. But He told him that. Why? Because Joshua was he needed courage. He needed to be encouraged, to have courage and be not dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee to deliver thee whithersoever thou goest. He told him. But He told him not to be afraid. He told him not to be fearful. He told him to have courage. And the same thing with us. The Lord knows that we're scared of some things and that we're frightened of things. And He tells us not to let people scare us and not to be scared of them. The Lord said not to be scared of sudden fear. And He told us not to be, whenever you're walking along, all of a sudden something pops up in your life. It scares the mess out of you. And you think, what in the world? Where'd that come from? And it scares you. Well, the Lord said not to be afraid of sudden fear. And you trust Him. And it takes a lot of courage to trust Him, because the first thing we want to do is try to figure out how we're going to get this thing done and get it settled and get it. No. First thing we do is go to the Lord and say, Lord, you see this? You see what's going on? And I don't know what to do about it, and I need your help. And I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to trust you. And you get up every day, and you say, I'm going to trust you with it. I'm going to trust you with it. And you watch. He comes through every single time. And it don't matter what, we say, we wouldn't do it like the Lord would do it. That's right. But, if the Lord wants to do it His way, as long as it gets done, it's fine with me, ain't it, you? Of course it is. We're talking about affections. And boy, if that ain't something that we got to trust the Lord with, because there's so many temptations and avenues in the world, and the devil, the enemy, him and our flesh, all working against our affections and our yearnings. And trying to get us to be affectionate toward things that we ought not. And trying to take away the things that the Bible teaches us that we should be affectionate toward. And our flesh is one of the enemies toward that kind of stuff. And it doesn't want us to have, it wants what it wants, doesn't it? But talking about affections, we began this just to recap a little bit, that Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And as we talked about that and started explaining affections, it worked its way, or yearning, it worked its way into affections, and affections worked its way into the heart. And as we started talking about the heart, it said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of it are the issues of life. Now, I remember just before we hung up the phone on our last lesson that I told you I was going to give you these scriptures from our last lesson. I know that you want me to keep my promise to you, so let me give them to you, okay? These are the scriptures from the last study, from study number one in study number one in the ABCs of Christian growth of the letter Y. Here they are. Genesis chapter 43, verse 30. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 26. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 and 10. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 25 through 32. Luke chapter 15, verse 17 through 24. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16 through 27. Genesis chapter 43, or chapter 43, verse 29 through 34. Genesis 49, verse 29 through 33. Romans chapter 9, verse 1 through 4. Psalm chapter 137, verse 1 through 6. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 33. We had a lot of them, didn't we? Titus chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 through 21. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. And the last one for the last study was John chapter 6, verse 63. Now, moving right along, let's go ahead and get right back into our study here. We're talking about affections, and we had an introduction, and we began talking about the heart and how the heart has to do with the affections, and the Lord commanded us to keep that heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And the Lord says that our heart is our treasure chest. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And the Lord said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. Come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. So the things that come out of the heart can both be good and can be evil, depending on how we're keeping our heart with all diligence, how we're paying attention to our heart. And you know that your heart has to be kept, because your heart can run amok, having to do with relationships, having to do with, I mean, your affections and things like that, the things that you allow your heart. I mean, that's probably one of the biggest ones, is everybody's scared to death to become affectionate with somebody else, as far as a relationship or something like that, because I just been hurt too much and this and that and the other. What are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about my heart. What are you talking about your heart? Well, my affections. And the things that I'm affectionate about. Okay, so we got to be careful and mind the Lord and know what God's Word says when it comes to the different kinds of affections. And we discussed that also, what different kinds of affections in the scriptures are discussed. Well, we talked about natural affections and paternal affections and maternal affections and fraternal affections, filial affections, national affections of your nation, and racial affections, your people, for affections for your wife, affections for your husband, affections for Christians, your brothers. The Lord said, love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. And affections for heaven. Set not your affections on things of the earth, but on things above, the Bible says, on heaven and the things of heaven. Now, the Lord didn't tell us everything about heaven, and he even let Paul go up there for just a spell. And when Paul come back, the Lord wouldn't let him talk about any of that either, because he said it wasn't able to be put in man's words to describe it. So, we know that there's things there, and the Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. So, you see, the things that we're affectionate, that we have affections for, are limited to our humanity. And what the Lord tells us in the Scriptures that to set our affections on. Well, there's so much that we don't know about heaven and know about the Lord, you know, the Lord probably doesn't tell us a lot of things because we can't bear it. The best that we can do, the Lord says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It takes everything we got, walking and staying in fellowship with the Lord, just to get through one day because it's so evil. And there's so much evil in the world. And watching out for it and hiding from it and escaping it and turning from it and passing away from it and battling with it and just everything that comes along with one day. And the Lord commands us not to take thought for tomorrow, but to take thought for the things of today, to think about today, because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And the Lord said, don't even try to shoulder that. Just live today. And that's the way we're supposed to be doing. But affections. So let's go on into the next part there, or here. And the topic is going to be, what are some good characteristics of yearnings or affections that the Bible talks about, and give us some examples of characteristics of good, or good characteristics of yearnings, or good characteristics of affections that the Bible discusses, that God's Word discusses. Well, the first thing is that good affections can be intensely loyal. Good affections can be intensely loyal. Let me ask you something. How's your loyalty? And when it comes to loyalty, now remember when we're talking about affections, we're talking about the things that are in your heart, in your treasure chest, or not. Now, we're talking about good affections, so these are the things that the Scripture teaches us that are good as far as affections. Good affections can be intentionally loyal. Loyal. Well, let's look at some loyalty as far as affections go in the Scriptures, and we'll start in the book of Ruth. Ruth, you remember her. Chapter 1, verse 14 through 18. Let me read it to you. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Now, this is her daughter-in-law that lost her husband, and Ruth's sister, I think it was her sister, but either way, she lost her, I think it was, it lost her husband too. And then her mother-in-law, I can't remember, but either way, she told her, go back to your people. Go back to your people and your people, and I'm just going to go back to my people. And since all our husbands are dead and everything, and we ain't got nobody, you go on back. But here was what Ruth said. Said, where thou diest, will I die. and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So you see, Ruth, even though she was of a different nationality and her husband died, I think it was her mother-in-law is what it was, and her son, her husband was this woman's, it was her mother-in-law. And but anyway, they died, the husbands died, and the women were left, and Ruth's mother-in-law sent both of them back to their people, or was going to, for their sakes. But Ruth was so affectionate toward her mother-in-law and loved her and wanted to take care of her and help her that she was intensely loyal to her. Her affections were loyalty. One of her affections was loyalty. She said, thy God's going to be my God. Thy people's going to be my people. Where you lodge, I'm going to lodge. And wherever you go, I'm going to go. And she also said that where you die, I'm going to die. And there will I be buried. And that's loyalty. And one of the affections that comes out of that should be in our treasure chest should be loyalty. A Christian should be known for being loyal. Loyal to the good characteristics of affections. Well, let's see some more proof that Ruth was loyal. In Ruth chapter 2 and verse 11 and 12, listen to what Boaz said. Now, Boaz ended up being her husband. And she ended up bearing children by him. And that's a whole nother truth in the scriptures. But, and Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. He's speaking to Ruth, and he's talking to her about her character and about the things that he's seen that she was affectionate about. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Boaz complimented her. He spoke well of her and encouraged her and bragged on her he exhorted her that he knew what kind of woman she was, because he could see a good characteristic of an affection that was in her heart because of her behavior toward her mother-in-law. She did what she did because she wanted to, because it was a yearning, it was an affection that was in her heart that was good to help her mother-in-law, and she was loyal to it, and people noticed it. Very important. You say, what are some good characteristics of yearnings? Well, good affections can be intensely loyal. She said, where thou diest, where thou diest, will I die. Now, that's saying something. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Now, that's some dependability. That's some loyalty. And that's what Christians ought to be known for. That ought to be something that's in your treasure chest, is loyalty. If there's anything that proves how much a person's affections are towards something or somebody, it's loyalty. Loyalty's a good yearning. Can you think of anything that we ought to have affections of loyal towards? loyalty towards? The Bible said, set your affections on things above. You say, well, what are above? Well, loyalty. Are you loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you loyal to the Word of God? Is that something that's in your treasure chest that's very important to you, that involves your affections? Loyalty? Name something that you're loyal to, honestly, from your heart. Remember, from your heart. Is there anything in your heart that you're loyal to? There's a lot of things that in society today that if there was loyalty as important and as a good characteristic in people anymore, which you rarely see anymore, society wouldn't have to lock their doors and windows and put bars on their windows. Loyalty. It has really kind of just went to the mud hole in America, and loyalty is not a very important thing in people's minds and in their hearts and in their treasure chest anymore as far as affections go. But for the Christian, and that's who we're talking about, for the Christian, one thing having to do with yearnings is that your affections ought to be loyal. One of them ought to be loyalty. You women, no matter what the women's movement says, you ought to be loyal to what you promised. You promised a man that you would be there for better or for worse. You say, well, you, no. Loyalty. Loyalty. I know women are teaching women, women are telling women, well, if he snaps his fingers wrong, you ought to leave him. You ain't got to put up with that. Where'd that come from? That sure ain't loyalty. That's sure not an affection from a treasure chest that's a good affection. The Lord said from the beginning, this is not so as far as divorce and leaving one another and putting one another away. You fellas, are you loyal to your wives? Is your loyalty to her? Or are you just putting up with, loyalty? And talking about affectionate, having affections about this thing. I don't care, if it has to do with even to death, according to Ruth. Ruth said, God kill me Lord do so to me and more, if aught but death part thee and me. Boy, a lot of marriages could just take that statement and go with it, couldn't they? There ain't nothing between two people that can't be worked out when it comes to Christian affections and the things that are in the heart of a Christian and in his treasure chest or her treasure chest that should be in there if it's a good thing and it's a right thing and it's according to the Scriptures and done accordingly to what God's will is, everything will come out fine. Good affections can be intensely loyal. Listen to this, Psalm chapter 1, verse 6. The Bible says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. He knows what's in your heart, and he knows what way you're going. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. God knows what's in your heart, and he knows what you're loyal to. And he knows what you're not loyal to. But a good affection, brothers and sisters, is to be intensely loyal toward the right things. Loyalty. The Bible says, listen to this, in Psalm 1:6 we just read, but also Psalm chapter 15, verse 1 through 5, listen to this. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. Now listen to this. But he honoreth them that feareth the Lord, And listen to this one. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Did you hear what he said just a minute ago? He said, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. I, such and such, promise to stay with this man for my entire life and not to let him down for better or worse. I, such and such, promise to stay with this woman for better or for worse. Sweareth to his own hurt. Now, when you get married, you ain't got no idea what's going to happen in the future 20 years from now. And something very bad could happen. You swear to your own hurt when you got married. You swore you'd stay with them. You swore you'd stay, and you would stay, and you would stay. And the Bible says, and changeth not. The Lord honors people that say what they're going to do that's good, that's an affection in their heart, and is a loyal affection, and then changes not. This world just is so flippant about anything that's loyal or, I'll be loyal as long as, it gives me a dollar. I'll be loyal as long as it's going my way. I'll be loyal as long as, blah, blah, blah. We're talking about truth. We're talking about what God says. We're talking about Scripture. God's Word, not the world's opinion. We're talking about affections. What are some good characteristics of yearnings? Well, good affections can be intensely loyal. Listen to this. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 37, verse 18, "The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever." God knows what goes on in your life every single day. He knoweth the days of the upright. And He knows your loyalty, and He knows what you stand by and what you stand against. And He knows what your promises were and what's in your heart. And He knows the things that's changed since you set your affections to be loyal toward things. And He knows what's changed, but He knows that you're loyal. And He honors that. He says, "And their inheritance shall be forever." The Lord said that everything that you're loyal to, you're not going to be sorry for. It says, your work is not in vain. The Bible says, Psalm chapter 138, verse 6, it says, "Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off." You know, it's mostly... And when I say that, but from my perspective, poor people are loyal. There's a lot of poor people that are loyal to things. And as far, I'm talking about as far as in Christendom and Christians and things like that, money seems to tear loyalty or make just kind of make loyalty passive. If it's all right, if it works into the situation here, then, yeah, we can be loyal. But if not, then, you know, the Lord said, "There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing, and there is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches." And one rich in your treasure chest is intense loyalty. That's a good characteristic of a yearning. Isn't that good? That's not all. Another good affection can be memorable affections. Memorable things that you remember. That you remember good affections that you have in your treasure chest that are memorable. That are worth thinking about over and over and over. In 1 Samuel, the Bible says this. In verse 2, 1 Samuel, I'm getting mixed up. I got my numbers wrong. 1 Samuel chapter 1 or chapter 2. I got that. Anyway, let me read. I think it's chapter 2, verse 1 through 11, but it says, now there was a certain man at Ramathazophin of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeraham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But to Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore. That was Peninnah, the other wife. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on my affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. He was sitting there watching her pray, and he marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid of a daughter of Belial, and out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way, and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early, and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel. One of the best priests in the Old Testament, or one of the very important priests in the Old Testament, where your Bible comes from. Samuel was the last prophet, the last priest before the Old Testament ended, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord, and the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him. and that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. She's going to keep her word with the Lord. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, do what seemeth good, do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou hast weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli, and she said, O my Lord, as thou soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and then as she's sitting here praising the Lord, and they are stumbled, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry seized, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many, she's talking about what Peninnah has been doing to her, and she's praising the Lord because of it. And she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and the Lord maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He maketh low and he lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto the king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Good affections can be memorable. You see how Hannah was praising the Lord? I mean, one minute she was having such trouble and such bitterness in her heart because she couldn't have children, and she was being persecuted from Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah. Now here we see God's word that Hannah had good memories of affections and yearnings that she had. Hannah was a good woman that loved and feared God. She was being persecuted by both the devil and Peninnah, that she could not bear children. It becomes unbearable, according to verse 11, that she can't take it no more, and she makes a deal with the Lord. And in verse 19 and 20 that we read there, the Lord remembers their agreement and gives Hannah conception. And she keeps her promise. She's loyal. She keeps her promise, and her affections change. Now, instead of having bitterness and regret and sorrow about not being able to bear a child, isn't it interesting that women in the scriptures found that being a woman, one of the most important things of being a woman was being able to bear a man a child? Things change, don't they? In verse 25 through 28, she keeps her part of the agreement and turns over the child, Samuel, to the Lord to Eli the priest. And after everything is done, look at Hannah's response in chapter 2, verse 1 through 10 that we just got through reading. She praised the Lord and magnified him and said that there were good memories in her affections. Hannah's memories for her affections were pleasant for her. Affections can be memorable. Our memories, our affections that are in our treasure chest can be memorable. We can think about them and remember and have memories of our affections that are good affections. Good affections. King David's memories of affections he had over King Saul and Jonathan were memorable. Good affections. There's a lot of people that are trying to get King David to... There's many times King David could have killed King Saul. But David lamented. The Bible says in 2 Samuel, verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 17 through 27, after Saul and his son Jonathan... Now, David and his son Jonathan, they were... they loved one another, the Bible says, like two men would love one another, not wickedly, but that they loved one another. They were better than brothers and better than a wife, I think the scripture said. And David, after Saul died, it says, and David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. Also, he bade them teach the children of Judah to use the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, the beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not to Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gibeon, let there be not dew. David's grieving, and he's talking about this thing. He said, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul remembered not, returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives. See, he's having pleasant affections toward these men. Even the way Saul treated him, David loved Saul. And he never done anything behind his back that was wrong, even though Saul mistreated him quite a bit. And as far as Jonathan, him and David were as one. As far as men go, and David's lamenting, but what he's saying about Saul and about Jonathan are memorable affections. He's remembering how wonderful they were in his life. Their lives, in their death, they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thy high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. And he's not being vulgar or stupid right there. He's talking about two men that really were, that loved one another as men should love one another as far as brotherly. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished? You see, David had memorable affections. You say, what are we talking about? We're talking about what are some good characteristics of yearnings. Good affections can be intensely loyal. Good affections can be memorable. The Lord tells us to think on things that are good. Let our memories be good. The affections of our memories the good affections. Good affections can be memorable. And that's not all. Good affections can be natural. Good affections. Now remember, we're talking about keeping thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. These are some things that you ought to let pile up in your heart. Good affections. Good affections. The Bible says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Good affections can be natural. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 30 through 39, listen to this. And it came to pass, while they were in the way, that tidings came to David, saying, Absalom hath slain all the king's sons, and there is not one of them left. Then the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. And Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother, answered and said, Let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon only is dead. For by the appointment of Absalom, this hath been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. And what he's talking about here is that Absalom, David had sons. Absalom and Amnon was one of them. And Amnon, he played like he was sick. And he had, and David had a daughter named Tamar. And Amnon desired her. And he acted sick and asked his father David to let Tamar come in and take care of him. Well, when she came in to take care of him, he raped her. And Absalom, from that day, when he found out what his brother did to his sister, he had it out for him. And this is what this is about. David thinks all of his children are dead and have been killed, but the servant tells him that Amnon was the only one that was dead. For by the appointment of Absalom, this had been determined from the day that he forced his sister, Tamar. Now, therefore, let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart to think that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon only is dead. But Absalom fled, and the young man that kept the watch, lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there came much people by the way of the hillside behind him. And Jonadab said unto the king, Behold, the king's sons come. As thy servant said, so it was. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came, and lifted up their voice and wept, and the king also and all his servants wept sore. But Absalom fled, and went into Talmai, the son of Ammihud, king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day, talking about Absalom. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur, and was there 3 years. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, to go get him. For he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. Good affections can be natural. You see, we got a family-oriented thing going on here, and David's heart is affected in this thing. And he's worried about his sons and worried about what's happened to him and everything. And Absalom, his oldest son, is rebelling against his authority and trying to get to be king instead of him and misbehaving. And David loves him, and his affections are all mixed up as far as what's going on with his sons and why these things are happening and why Amnon raped his daughter and raped his sister. And then Absalom kills his brother for doing it, and then Absalom takes off. And now David's got all these problems with his sons, and he's got problems as a father would have. He's got affections that are natural affections. He loves his sons. and he wants them to be all right, no matter what the problems are. And he loves his daughter and wants them to be all right. King David yearned for his son Absalom, said he wanted to go get him. He wanted to go get him and bring him back. He yearned for his son Absalom that had ran away and wanted to go get him. Affections can be natural affections. It's a good and natural thing for a father to love and miss his children. What kind of affections do you have that are natural? That are in your treasure chest, in your heart? Natural affections. Things that you ought to have affections about. Good things. Good affections can be natural. Amen? I think we're going to stop right there. We got more to talk about, and this is getting better and better by everyone. But so far we're talking about, and we're trying to get into. I know these scriptures are long, but that's just the way it is, and we don't mind reading God's word, do we? Now, if somebody could read better, not me, but my reading's usually better. But I've been having trouble with my eyes, and I apologize for that. But I'm fixing to go get them fixed. I think the Lord's made way for me to do that, and I'll be able to read a little better. But just bear with me, and like I said, I'm not no polished. Polished anything. I'm just somebody that loves the Lord and wants to have Bible study with you. And thank you for joining in with us. Listen, we're talking about the ABCs of Christian growth and what are some good characteristics of yearnings. We're talking about yearnings and talking about affections and the things that ought to be in our heart and the things that ought not be in our heart. We ain't got to that part yet, but good affections can be loyal. Good affections can be loyal. Don't resent or regret your loyalty to a good thing. That you've got an affection that's loyal and intensely loyal towards something that's good. That's a good affection, according to the scriptures. Ruth did. And Boaz, and people see that, and even your enemy will tip his hat to a loyal person. He might be your enemy and hate everything about you, but he'll tip his hat to you for your integrity and your dignity and your loyalty. Good affections can be memorable. Remember the good things. Be affectionate toward the things that have happened in your life that are good, and the things that are in your heart, and let them be in there, in your heart. Good affections can be memorable. Good affections can be natural. The world's changing, and it's changing the definition of affections and changing the definitions of yearning and changing the definition of everything in society to where everybody's deceived now. And the Bible says your habitation is in the midst of deceit. Nobody knows what's right and what's wrong anymore. But good affections, according to the scriptures, and what God says. And we've seen some examples of these things. We're going to go into it on our next one also and talk about these things some more. Good affections. We're going to talk about that good affections can be tested and tried. And that also good affections can be emotional. And that good affections can be grateful. Good affections also can be joyous. And this is all scripture. This is all shown us in the Word of God. Good affections can and should be Christ-centered, you see. And we'll talk about those things on our next lesson, and you'll be sure to join us, okay? Let me give you these scriptures right quick, if you would. And you got your pencil? Let's get these. And all right, here we go. You ready? Good characteristics of yearnings. The first one's Ruth, chapter 1, verse 14 through 18. And then again we read Ruth, chapter 2, verse 11 through 12. 11 and 12. We looked at Psalm, chapter 1, verse 6. Psalm, chapter 15, verse 1 through 5. Psalm, chapter 37, verse 18. Psalm chapter 138, verse 6. We looked at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. And you can also look at chapter 1 in that also. I think when I got mixed up on that one, it was 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. That's where the whole from beginning to end about Hannah having Samuel and what went on and all of that. Next is 2 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 17 through 27. And that was David. And then 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 30 through 39. And then Genesis chapter 22, verse... Wait a minute. We don't want to go... Genesis is the first one on the next one. I'm sorry. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 30 through 39 is the last one. Okay, so there we go, and like I said, this is not orthodox, y'all. So we just have us a good time and laugh with and laugh at one another, and hey, no problem. So the Lord bless you, and I hope that you've enjoyed today and that you've been blessed by it, and that you see that these affections are important to the Lord, and the Lord knows that we have affections and that we have things in our heart, and that the heart is deceitful above all things. And this is a challenge for us in our Christian walk, is to try to keep our heart and the affections in our heart right, and be very careful about what we're affectionate about. And as long as we're in the Scriptures and studying God's Word and filling our minds with God's Word, we will have affections that are proper and right before the Lord, and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Amen. Well, the Lord be kind to you, and I appreciate you and love you with Christ's love. Join us again on the next one, if you can. And we'll talk some more about affections, good affections. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.